knows the hands of a father are very, very important? How many knows that sometimes you mistake what you often are doing? Can we pray for our offering? Heavenly Father, we love you and we ask you one more time to reach down and touch us. We ask you to bless this offering and bless this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1 reads like this. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Everybody say, his will. To the praise and the glory of his grace. Everybody say, his grace. Wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Everybody say, his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of faith, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye also were sealed in that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto the praise of his glory. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. The hands. Everybody look at your hands. The hands of a father. The hands of a father. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now to speak to us. Allow me one more time to walk into your presence and deliver them a message from you that will mark them, that will change them, that will transform their thinking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 103 verse 13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who will fear him. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. You see, in today's generation, we have mistaken what a father is. A father is not a name. A father is not someone who has a child. A father is somebody who is a father. You say, what description would you give that a father is? A father is somebody, and I remember growing up and looking at my father, and he would get up at early in the hours of the morning, and he would go to work, and he would come home at night. He would plant the garden, he would cut the wood, and then pile it up for me to split. I see there's some other fathers in the house. We would go fishing. We would go hunting. And you know, it seemed it didn't matter how tired he was. If he was, he never let me know it. Knowing he'd got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, worked all day, and in the later years of my life was pastoring a church on top of that. We would still load a coon dog in the dog box. We'd put it in the truck at dark, and we'd go coon hunting till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And he'd get up in the morning, and he'd go do it again. Every single day. In the midst of all of that, he still found time to fix the window and paint the garage and put the trim up and fix the chimney and pump the water out of the basement when it flooded in that old Michigan basement that we had. He still made the time to go get everything done, but yet he still made time to be a dad. This generation, I'm afraid, has allowed what really being a father is to escape us. We put a banner on, I pay their bills. Come on now. I pay their bills. I make sure they're taken care of. And we leave it to mom. In often cases, there isn't even a mom. This generation today, I'm afraid, is getting a poor illustration from society of what a father really is. And you say, how do we change that? How do we solve that? How do we fix that? How do we go back in today's society and instill back in to this generation that calluses on your hand are not a mark of a bad thing, but it's a mark of a father that says, I'm willing to rub the skin until it's injured, until there comes a day that it's just become calloused. And those calluses were so I could put food on the table. I remember even my wife's father, as we would go down to Tennessee. My father never carried one of these. He worked in a different type of trade, and since he was involved in the food industry, he usually had somebody giving him lunch. But I remember my wife's father. As we would be there and he would have to work, my mother-in-law would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and she would begin to pack a sausage and biscuit and wrap it up in some aluminum foil. She would begin to wrap up a sandwich and some chips and some Debbie cakes. And I watched as he would load that cooler in the back of that little Toyota truck. He'd head down the road, an hour drive, day after day, day after day, day after day. Day after day, day after day, day after day, he would come home. He would be tired. You know, men have a tendency to not say a whole lot. There are some that their mouth just leaks all the time, but most men... have a tendency to be a little more reserved. The difference between a father and a mother is what we're trying to instill. You see, men are designed to tear things apart and to put things back together. We as men are designed, oftentimes when you come to dad, he's probably not going to sit down, and he's probably not going to run to the house screaming and hollering, get me a Kleenex and get me a napkin. Their nose is running. He's probably going to teach you very delicately, son, just go like this. I We got some other fathers in the house, don't we? Moms, you didn't know we taught them kind of things, did you? Oh, yes. Just sling it and get back to work. It'll be okay. We as fathers would teach those kids that if it's not soaking your sock, it's just a scratch. Let's keep going. It'll be all right. We'll clean it up when we get back to the house. Moms, on the other hand, are a whole different ballgame. If moms were ever to venture outside and saw some of the things that we allow those children to do, we'd probably have a rough time when we got back in the house. Because moms, on the other hand, are designed to patch it up. We have a couple, one nurse in the house and one someday future nurse. They're designed after it's banged up and it's broken and it's a mess to somehow try to take that thing and make it look as close to the original as you possibly can. You're designed to hold it. You're designed to put the gauze on it and try to do it as painlessly as you can and ask, are you okay? It's even hard for me to say it like that. But that's the side of a mother. There's a reason most nurses are ladies. Because us men see the Band-Aid, and the ladies will say, now hold on, let's get this corner. Let's get this corner. And us men say, let me see that corner. Yank! You didn't feel that, did you? That's the difference between men and women. And God put it in our DNA to be like that. And you find a man when he's got the pressure of the world and work, and you're facing opposition on every side. And then you walk into the house and you get it there too. Simply because we didn't tell everything that was going on at work. They don't know that I'm about to get written up. They don't know that there's tension going on at the workforce place and you're not sure how you're going to handle it. But us as men has learned to shelter them from that. And we take up our cross of the family. And we put it on our shoulder. And we get up every day. And we go out there and we do it again. And we do it again. And we do it again. And oftentimes, you young people that are children in the house will sometimes think, Dad doesn't care. Dad's not listening. But you can rest assured, probably sitting in that recliner, when you think he's sleeping, he's heard every word that's went on in the house. And if it's really needed, he'll say something. Otherwise, it'll take care of itself. They'll work it out. But if Dad drops that paper and you hear that chair go down, you're going to see some kids start scampering for their bedrooms. Because we know after a long day's work, if Dad got up, there's a reason. And it probably ain't to go to the bathroom. And the reality is, men say it with few words. But if you will ever stop, turn the hands over of your father, you'll see the marks of success. You'll see the marks of years of love. To this day, I still have two fingernails that will forever be turned down. And you say, what in the world from? It was from 2 years of pushing in pop cans in a vending machine with my same finger every single time by the hundreds at 4 o'clock in the morning in the snow and in the cold, punching in and going and filling pop machines one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. On my right hand, you'll still see a scar. Getting hit by 430 volts. Of reaching into a machine to pay the bills. So we could have a nice car and a nice home. And the children would respect me because you get up and you go to work every day and you do it right. My son was there to witness the last one as I was trying to put a screw in. He happened to be with me that day. And I forgot I didn't have it on the screw, but I had it on drill. And I was using an inch and a half or 2 inch hole saw. And when that Milwaukee screw gun cut loose and grabbed that metal and flung up in the air and I was on top of a 6 foot ladder, that blade decided to come right down across the palm of my hand and just decided to make a whole new gouge all the way down through. And you say, what does this have to say? Oftentimes, those are the things men don't talk about. But they're there. The difference between men and women is women operate off of feelings. Men operate off of facts. Women operate off of fear. Men often operate off of faith. But we don't talk about it. You probably couldn't imagine the number of times Dad's got in the truck, closed the door, drove off to work, wondering how in the world is God ever going to make this work. But you never heard about it. Because men often operate purely out of what we do and not by what we say. You see, being a successful father revolves around things that oftentimes we don't think about. But inside the DNA of every man is hidden a mystery of what makes him tick. And I contend most children and most moms, even after living with them for a long time, still haven't unraveled the full mystery of what makes him a man. Even after cooking for him for years, even after riding miles and miles of bicycles, fishing for hours, shooting guns, deer hunting, coon hunting, rabbit hunting, riding roller coasters, and all the stuff that you enjoy with a father, I contend when he lays his head on a dying bed, there is going to be literally thousands of things that you never knew about him. The depth of his love that he never really said. He just demonstrated it. The heart that beats every single day. The tears that went down his face. Nobody ever saw. But they were there. You see, us as men are no different than God himself. We're made in the fear and the image of God. We have the DNA of a heavenly Father. You find in Scripture Jesus walking on this earth. He didn't say a lot. I don't find a discourse when they brought the woman that was caught in adultery. You don't find a discourse where Jesus stood up and says, I'll be her lawyer. I mean, those lawyers usually say a lot of words. He just reaches down, scribbles a little something in the sand, asks one question, and the crowd says, they dispersed. He was talking to the disciples. He'd give them little phrases. He'd say little things. And then he'd say one thing that was most important. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Even to the point, it came time that he knew he was going to die. And he came to a garden. In the midst of that garden, he chose four men. He took them just a little bit further. And he said, stay here while I go to pray. Even Jesus, how many knows some of us men have a tough time praying in front of other people? Isn't it funny that even Jesus, he only took four to the inner place and even left them a bit of a distance as he went just a little bit further. You want to know why? Because he was a man. And he was a father. And tied in the heart of every man and every father is a fear of people knowing I'm weak. It's a fear of people knowing I'm frustrated. And what do we do as men? We take the Superman cape and we take all the problems and we zip up the cape. And on the outside we look like Superman. But on the inside we're hurting. And on the inside we're frustrated. And on the inside nobody in the world even knows it because we carry it hidden inside. But I find where Jesus himself goes a little further and he says, Father, if this cup could pass from me, you know what he was showing? I'm scared. It's going to hurt. I know where I've got to go. I know what I've got to do. And I know it ain't going to be easy. If this cup could pass from me, let it pass. But ultimately, the rest of that prayer was, but not my will, but thine be done. You know what he was saying? I don't want to let them know that what I'm doing is hidden amongst everything else. And there will come a time that I didn't have time to explain it all. I didn't have time to show it all to them. But there's going to come a day when I'm hanging between heaven and earth. My actions are going to speak far louder than any words that I ever said. When they look on that cross and they see that I carried it to the end and I said it's finished, there will be no question that I'm faithful to the end. I will carry them as far as I can carry them. And I won't say a whole lot about it, but they will know I am a faithful This generation oftentimes thinks they've got all the answers, just like we did. This generation argues with the last generation. They look at the last generation and say, they didn't know how to do it. I can do it better. And I can do it faster. And I can do it easier. And my son can get on that computer and in 2 minutes do things that would have taken me 5 hours. But you know what? I can get out my notepad and I can accomplish the same thing just as fast as long as I know where I put it. That's the difference between a generation. The difference is we learned what we taught by the last generation. But let me ask you, as the young generation that's here, of young people that have fathers, let me ask you. There's an old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But at the same time, you can take building blocks that were there and build on those things and make it stronger. You know, I never dreamed that after all the years of learning how to braise solder together, and I take hot braise rod at 15% silver and I heat that pipe up, and you put that silver in and you got to get it cherry red to get complete penetration. You can tear that piece of pipe open and you'll have 100% penetration from top to bottom, side to side, through the whole cup. If you know how to do it. And it will withstand 1,500 pounds of pressure of tensile strength. And then now all of a sudden, I can take a piece of copper and I can slide a fitting with an O-ring. What used to take me 20 minutes to braise, to get it right, to make sure it was perfect, now you can slide a little cup over it and you put a machine on it, and in 2 minutes, just doop, done, go to the next one. And the first time I saw one, I looked at that and I said, I ain't putting that in my house. I ain't no way I'm going to put that in the customer's building. Why? Because I don't trust it. I've never seen it work before. I don't know if it'll do what I think it should do. But now, after about 10 or 15 years, I find myself reaching for that little gun and those fittings. And I'm putting those fittings on, and I press them on, and I go to the next one. And I press it on, and I go to the next one. And now they came out that I can even run them for refrigeration pipe. And all the elders are shaking their heads saying, I can't believe they trust that stuff. But the reality is, the only reason I trust it is because I've learned to trust it, because I've seen it work. And there comes a point in time that you look at what your fathers did, and you look what your mother did, and you've seen it work, and you take what they, you know, works, and you build on it, and you build on it, and you say, what does that mean? That means when you hit tough times and you see them trust God, you build on it. And when you hit hard times and you know there's only one thing going to get me out of this, that's God and a whole lot of hard work, what do? You sit down and you lace up your boots and you go out there and you work with everything you got, and you come home tired, and you go to bed hungry, and pretty soon you got enough money to put the groceries back in there and fill the freezer up again, and you remember, how did I get here? The same way I watched Mom and Dad do it. And you kneel down and pray, and you thank God for it, because you know where it came from. Because you saw Dad do it. You say, does it all really matter? I don't know. Because he's probably not going to talk about it. And he sits in that recliner, and oftentimes there's a million answers going through his head. And he could tell you how to straighten it out and fix it. But oftentimes us fathers will sit there and listen and not say a word. because there's some things you'll only learn by watching. I can tell you how to fix it. I can tell you how to do it. Your dad can tell you how to fix it, and he can tell you how to do it. But if you want to know the key to the success, just look at his hands. That's how it got there. Many times we as individuals, we struggle with the next generation and the last generation. But ultimately, the real key to every success is not what's said, it's what's done. As a pastor, I've implemented in my life, and I'm coming to a close, even in the way that I pastor. If you want to know what I believe, you watch my life. If you want to know how to get to heaven, you see what I'm doing to get there. Because I've learned, your actions speak way louder than your words. Pastor, come to tell this generation, you can talk about success all you want to. I'm going to judge it by what you do. You can talk about all the success in the world. You can talk about how you're going to raise your kids, how you're going to get it right. Pastor, come to remind you, talk is cheap. Real measure of a man is when they close the lid on the casket. You judge him by his works. What's standing to his testament oftentimes will be a product of what's in his hands. The scars, the frustrations, and all the stuff that went into life. Because he probably will never talk about it. You say, couldn't we be better men if we just talk about some of these things? You can. You want to rob him of being a man. As frustrating as it is, especially to our daughters and our wives. Pastor, come to let you in a little secret you probably already learned. There are some things you don't pry into. You just watch. You'll see a man takes frustration and turns it into faith, because he'll walk stone-faced into the face of the worst of winds for his family, knowing I may not ever come out alive, but I'm going to die trying. He'll work till his body can't hardly crawl out of bed to put food on the table, and he'll give of his life every day for those children that he loves. You'll never know he did. You want to know why? Because the greatest example we ever had taught us men what really being a man was. And that's being a faithful father. You don't talk about it. You just go do it. And you get it right. Let's all stand. Some of you that don't have a father here to hug, and they've been gone on. The greatest testament is when you close the lid and you can say, job well done. They did it right. So today, in closing, my challenge for you as young men here today is, you may never know what it is to walk the miles these boots have walked. And your boots may look totally different than mine. Pastor's not here to make you me or me you. Your boots may be a soldier's boots. I've never walked in those boots. Brother Austin, I ain't never been a forklift driver. Thank the Lord, lives have probably been saved because I wasn't a forklift driver. But my challenge for us today is for this world to be changed. The only way the next generation will know is if this generation gets up. Whatever form of boots God gave you, you lace them up and you walk with faith. You walk with a fear of God, and you stare the devil in the eye when he attacks your family, and you look at him one more time and say, you know what? The only way you're going to get them is over my dead body. Because between me and God, they'll never know we did it, but we're going to be faithful. And we're going to go home, and we're going to have food to put in the refrigerator. There's going to be gas in the car. There'll be tires on them. And when that child lays its head down tonight, he ain't going to know how it got there. But it's going to be there. And there's going to be days, dads, you ain't going to know how it got there either. But you're just going to thank God he showed up just in time. I wonder if we could gather in around this front in closing today and thank God for the greatest example he ever gave us was simply in the hands of a father. That there was nail prints in a hand. It was a sign that says, I got it right. I finished my course and I kept the faith. I didn't talk about it. I didn't make a big deal about it. I just did it. And I got it right. And there's going to come a day, you're going to be my age. You're going to be the elder's age. You're going to be Brother Van Ness's age and Brother Scott's age. And you know what? The only thing you're going to have to stand for a testimony to what you did in this life is what's marked by your hands. The difference between you and us, you still have time on your side. We don't. As many a man went to a grave with no scars. Many a man went to a grave with regrets and frustrations because he didn't and he could have. The difference between us and you as a young generation is you still have time. Mark your family with your hands. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, it's hours of football when you're tired. It's picking up a fishing pole when you'd rather go in and sit down because you're wore out. Picking up another board, hanging another sheet of drywall, sanding off the rough edges to build a dream of a life that oftentimes never recognizes the work that went into it. It's getting up every day, God, and working hard. When we have all had our toughest days, God, as men in this place, I want us to look back one more time and see the example you gave us of endless hours and endless frustrations, standing in the face of a world that didn't respect you, didn't love you, and didn't care about you. And when we walk into a home, God, that oftentimes brings resistance, unintentional, purely because we didn't let them in on the secret that we were hurting. And when we feel like we can't do it anymore, God, I'm asking you one more time to bring a fresh remembrance to our mind. To a crowd that was chanting, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! you stood in the face of opposition. You said, yet they know not what I'm doing. They don't even know that I'm doing this for them. But yet, they're going to kill me. And I'm okay with it. Because there's going to come a day they're going to recognize I was a faithful father. And I loved them when they didn't love me. And even when they thought I was being mean, and they thought I was just tearing them apart and picking apart the things they were doing, really, I was trying to build them up. Really, I was trying to secure a place for them, that where I am going, they might be also. And we as fathers are no different. If we've set our sights on heaven, we are preparing a path and we are headed for a place. But if they will be willing to pick up what they've got and follow and build upon what we've built, this church will be a stronger church. These families will be stronger families. The homes will not have the mistakes that I as a father made and many of us have made here today. But their families will be different. They'll be better. Not because of what we said, but because of what we did. I'm asking you to bring strength to every home, every family. Strengthen every father, especially our young men here today. God, set their sights on you and their faith on you. When they can't explain it, don't have time, they'll find an inner peace inside that says, you know what, if I just trust God, it's going to come out right. And they're going to learn that, God, from watching us as men of God. Set our sights on you, and we put every bit of our faith in you, and it comes out right every single time because we trusted you. I'm asking you to let them trust you in this generation today. Can we lift our hands and love him all across this place? Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for challenging us and speaking to us one more time. On Father's Day 2019, God, letting us get one more glimpse of what a faithful father is. It's demonstrated by his hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If all of our fathers could come up to this front, please, just across the front. If you are 18 and older, gather across this front. We want to get a picture. And Brother Harrison, will you help me? Will you give one of those to each of the fathers? Amen. Is that all right? Gather across this front. My daughter can get a picture. If you are 18 or older, please gather across this front. We want to get a picture of all of us men together, if that would be okay. Thank you to Sister Van S for helping put all of this together. Doesn't that look so nice? A nice gift, that family. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Let's get a picture, if we could, though, all of us men.